Any points from the any important points? You can take your time.
Now about happiness, like what we after doing all these things, we won't get any happiness.
So what was the first reason? Arjuna's first reason. So that we discuss second reason.
Yeah.
That
second,
was the happiness.
Yeah. Now we are discussing about no happiness. So after killing everyone, what is the point? If no one of my if
the family
my
members
close ones are not around, what is the point of willing this matter?
Okay. So anything? I think we discuss a lot more.
Discuss about the prayers and
shreyas.
Yeah, Lord. Prayers and shreyas.
So what is shreyas?
Shreyas is that is a long term satisfaction, for which is for the ultimate good.
And what's the ultimate self interest for all the human beings? What was Prabhupada says ultimate?
Go back to God. Go.
Service
for
Krishna,
Lord
Krishna.
First line, right? Yeah, it says. Without knowing, one's self-interest is in
Vishnu.
Basically, it's a devotional service to Vishnu or Krishna. So, you're in for the device class?
Is it discover class?
That is next
one. Next or upstairs? One of the rooms.
One of the rooms.
So, the stress means the ultimate goal, ultimate good for the human life, and that's the self-interest lies in Vishnu. So we have to take up. And what is prayers?
It is a short-term, short-term goal. And
here, short-term goal is sense satisfaction, like sense gratification.
Immediately, right?
Immediately.
It's very common that we immediately look for something immediate result. So we don't plan for. Basically, the Prabhupada says this whole life is meant for preparation to next life. That's our real stress. Is that? This is just a, you know, preparation time. So whatever we prepare now, how much of our time we spend in services, accumulate, you know, all the credits, that's what decides our future life. So that's a real stress. So we have to work a lot on devotion service. So in the next life, it will be, you know, we can be able to be with, go back to God. We don't know that, yeah, but we have to just serve. And anything else?
And then we discussed about what Ajay said, like we are materially so blind that we don't even understand that for material happiness we need to have, we need to follow dharma. Otherwise that also you cannot get.
Yeah.
That one. And then
so it causes more bondage. Mm-hmm. Even if you try to do something, if it's not according to like proper dharma, if you try to enjoy or if you do something, that causes more bondage actually. You will get be more entangled. So you will suffer more.
And then the three names of Krishna.
Yeah, so that's 32, 30, 35, right? So let's see what. So what's Govinda?
So what's the problem in Arjuna saying, I want to go to the forest and live by begging? What is the problem there?
What principle he was breaking?
He's not doing his duties, right?
Mm.
It's of a Kshatriya, which is to. Fight and serve the.
So what principle is that? We there's a main word for
dharma.
That.
Principle.
Varnashrama, right?
So it's called Varnashrama Dharma.
Oh, Varnashrama.
Varnashrama.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
So you cannot, Arjuna was trying to change his ashrama or varna. He is a kshatriya, as Prabhu said. But he wanted to become a brahmana. Go
and
beg and, you know.
We were discussing one example, right? If he goes to begging, what will happen?
Yeah, if someone doesn't give us something.
He's going to start fighting. So his nature will come out.
So it's by nature. Varnashrama Dharma, in the next verse also we'll discuss a little bit. It's a very important principle, Varnashrama system. And it said that, you know, it's a very scientific process. Because it's based on our nature. If you see, generally everybody has his own nature. Some people are, you know, quiet and, you know, they're more into more of goodness. So they fall into kind of brahmanas, right? They study, they give out teachings, like that. And some people are very administrative. They want to, you know, really do some administrative work, kshatriya.
Organize things,
you know, they lead thing, people, like kshatriya, administrative work. And some people are mercantile. You, any situation you give, from them, how to make profit out of it. Have you seen people like differentiate? You can differentiate easily, right? You come across people. Anything you give, they try to see how they can get money or profit out of it. And Shudras are all of us actually. Prabhupada clearly says, in this current time, everybody is born Shudra. So, we all fall into that category. So, there is no...
So, what example did Prabhupada use in this purport to say that Arjuna, what he is doing is not right? He gives very nice example about cooking. Mm. What is that?
If one is not hungry, he won't want to cook. Like.
Mm. Similarly, Arjuna doesn't feel like fighting, or he doesn't get any happiness in fighting. That's why he's saying, I don't want to fight.
And he expects that his desire will be fulfilled by Krishna rather than fulfilling Krishna's senses.
So that's coming correctly into the next verse. That's he's misusing the word Govinda.
Yeah.
Govinda is meant, what is real meaning?
Sense of the senses.
Yeah. One who gives pleasure to the house and senses. And Arjuna is saying, that's why Krishna, you satisfy my senses.
Yeah.
Then why Arjuna used the word Janardana?
He said, because you are the protector of all living entities. So why don't you decide, if you have to kill somebody, then you go ahead and kill.
Mm.
Rather than me killing them.
Kill.
Yeah. So if you kill, you don't get reactions.
Reactions.
Yeah. And why he used the word Madhusudana?
Because a demon...
Okay.
He is a killer.
Madhavi, Madhavi, can you tell?
I think, why are you killing...
Madhusudana is killer of?
Demon
Madhu. Okay.
He is asking that, why don't you kill... why are you asking me to kill my relatives?
Yes. Yeah.
Why don't you kill...
Yeah.
So actually, Krishna is saying that I already killed all my relatives.
Yeah.
So
you just be an instrument.
Yes,
correct. So basically here, Krishna is a killer of demons, but here are my relatives. Why you are asking me to kill my relatives? These are not demons. So like that, you know, Arjuna uses Krishna's names for his benefit. He is representing us, like conditioned souls. We also do like that many times, right? We try to use the situations for our selfish reason. And in that... we went over this verse very fast. There was one very important point about surrender in this verse. What are the two aspects of surrender?
Anukula sankalpa.
Pratikulasya.
Vivarjanam.
Actually, it's vivarjanam. I later heard. You can correct it if you want. It's called vivarjanam. So... No, it's must have written in your notebook. Anukulasya sankalpa, pratikulasya vivarjanam. Not varjanam, I told varjanam. So what does that mean?
So we should accept everything which is favorable in proceeding Krishna consciousness and reject those all things which would drag us away.
Yeah. So right. See, these are actually first of the two aspects of surrender. If you are saying, okay, Krishna, at the end of... What is the final conclusion of Bhagavad Gita? Of course, not the final verse. Yeah. Yeah. So, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So, surrender is the word, right? So, then how do we surrender? Krishna is asking us to surrender. How do we surrender? So there are six aspects. First two of them is this. The very, very basic level. Accept things which are favorable to Krishna consciousness or devotional service. And reject things which are unfavorable to devotional service. This is a practical way of also renunciation. Like what? How do we can't go to forest and like, you know, give up like maybe house, wife, all those things, right? This is a practical way we can renounce things. By using them in Krishna service. Pratikulyasya vivarjanam.
So there are six verbs.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I will tell you later on. I don't have that. I don't remember.
And also, who plans the war was really? Who planned the war? Was it Arjuna really?
Krishna.
So he was the... He really wanted to kill?
He had already killed all the kings.
He already killed.
He just wanted to make Arjuna
instrument. Yeah, you just become my instrument. So he already killed everybody. Because what was the reason? Why he wanted to really desperately kill Kauravas?
Mm.
What was the reason for that?
Because
why he wanted to really
because
kill
he
Krishna.
He is there on the side of other devotees. No, no, he attacked his devotees or he bothered his devotees.
So it's in the last paragraph.
Last point.
Yes. So any...
So Madhavachandra came, so he's going to do it.
Thank you. So, any offenses, Krishna will forgive. If you make some offenses against him, he will kind of forgive. But if you offend any devotees who serves him, he will never forget. So that's the main reason. That's why Kauravas did. From the childhood, actually we will discuss a little bit examples. From the childhood, they were always envious of Pandavas. Even from the childhood. So that's why Krishna finally, you know, it was stacking up all the pile. It was becoming more. So he finally decided he will destroy Kauravas. So that's why, you know, whole thing he arranged. Think that. So we'll go to text.
Krishna could destroy Kauravas with his chakra, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he could die. So why? So what's why he doesn't do that? He can second. He can destroy everything, right? As a Mahavishnu, he can inhale everything.
The people would not realize the importance of Krishna. I don't know. Maybe they get it for free. So what's the? They're not doing that duty then.
So Krishna likes to give credit to
his devotees.
His devotees. So like how if you take a parent and a child, even if your child does something, right, if he gets some credit, who is more than happy? Is kid happy or parents are more happy? For example, school or something, if kid wins, who is more happy? Kid is happy or parents are more proud and happy? Yes. Like Krishna, like same thing like that. I say we are all sons of Krishna. So he wants to see the devotees gets glorified. So in the whole this battle of Kurukshetra, Mahabharata, Who was glorified more? All the Pandavas, right? Particularly, you know, Arjuna, Bhima. Mahabharata means we think, we don't just think of Krishna. We think of mainly Pandavas like that. So Krishna is more happy. The credit.
So which is the verse where Krishna says that Arjuna, you become an instrument? We referred to that verse last time. 11:33 Krishna says, Nimitta Matram Bhava Sabyasachi. Oh, Arjuna Sabyasachi, become an instrument. Okay.
So let's go to read
today's
together.
Verse.
Text 36.
36.
Sanskrit together. Papam eva shreyet asmam atvaitanatatina tasman narayam antum dhritarashtram samabandham svajanam hirkatam atva sukhinam shyamamadava papam eva shreyet asman atvaitanatataina tasman narayam antum dhritarashtram samabandhavan svajanam hi katam hatva sukhina shama madhava.
Both the names are here.
Oh yeah.
Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain? O Krishna, husband of goddess of fortune, and how could we be happy by killing our own kinsmen?
So here Arjuna is starting the fourth reason. Fear of sinful reactions. Third reason, fear of sinful reactions. 36. So here one important point when we heard in the lecture is about the point of definition of sin. Sin, right? So what? So there is a another problem of Arjuna's understanding. So Arjuna is thinking sin to be, or what is pious to be, of ordinary morality. Like whatever, let's say in the world, if you do good, then that is pious. If you do bad in the world, then it's sin. Like ordinary, like generally what we think about what is good, what is bad. So basically that is relative. Because sometimes it's, in some places it's good, some places it's not. Like for example, let's say maybe dress culture, right? In some countries it's good in certain way. But if the same culture, if you use it maybe in India, it's considered wrong. So it's very relative. That's why it's relative morality. But Arjuna is thinking that to be the real thing. So he, that's why he's thinking, okay, if I kill all this, he's accepting them as aggressors. Aggressors means atataina. That's the words here actually. The Sanskrit is atata. Actually, when you read, if you have time, you can read this, you know, word to word. Then you can get familiar with Sanskrit also. We are not reading it in the class this time, but you can read. So you can understand Sanskrit. Atataina is aggressors. So Prabhupada in the purport, he gives what are the definition of aggressors. We'll go to that in a minute. So Arjuna accepts them as aggressors. But still he's saying, by killing them, we will get sin. So, and the other point is like, Krishna himself, he's a supreme personality of Godhead, he's standing next to him and he is telling, you fight this war. So what is more pious than just following the instructions of Krishna? Right? That should be the ultimate morality. Whatever Krishna says, if we do, that is the real, you know, real piety. But Arjuna is discrediting that and he is calculating on his own terms. So the real sin is to disobey the orders of the Supreme Lord. That is the definition of real sin, which is absolute, based on absolute morality. So then the point comes, okay, how do we know the instructions of Supreme Lord? You have some point?
No, so that point where he's talking about killing, right? So that's not relative anywhere, right? That part is not relative. So what, when he gives, then Krishna says, no, no, you fight. Then he doesn't dispute that, right? So till that point, it's not a relative.
No, at this point here at least,
yeah.
He's saying, even though they are aggressors, I don't want to kill them because I will incur sin.
Right.
If he was in that absolute platform,
right.
He would have considered, even if I kill them, because Krishna, you are saying, I am not going to incur sin.
But Krishna has not yet said so, right?
No, but he, everybody arranged the war, right?
Okay,
he knows that Krishna is all for it.
Okay.
No, Krishna supported the war.
Yeah,
that's what
Krishna wanted the war.
Krishna wanted the war.
Right. Okay.
So basically the sin, the definition as she mentioned it, no, it's whenever we disobey the laws of God, so that means you are already committing a sin. So in this case, do anybody remember what Velukudi Krishna Swami told?
About?
Like particularly about Dharma. He mentioned, I like that very much clearly,
right.
The definition of Dharma.
I don't know which part you are referring to.
It's a first class. So basically he told, whatever Krishna does, that itself it's a dharma.
Whatever he speaks is truth.
Whatever he does is dharma. It's dharma. We don't say anything else. That is dharma. It's accepted as dharma. So in this case, Krishna wants Arjuna to fight. But Arjuna is refusing. So that means he's not following the instructions.
Dharma.
Right?
So then the point is, question is, then how do we know what are instructions of the Lord?
Bhagavad Gita.
Okay, so we read Bhagavad Gita, right? Then we'll know, somebody was asking last time, right? Okay, where in Bhagavad Gita Krishna tells, what are the instructions? Somebody was asking. We covered some points, right? Some instructions, what we cover, like what we are aware. What
offer,
Krishna?
Offer.
Yeah.
And then
you always remember me, offer fruit, water, leaf.
Leaf
and
or what?
Yeah, patram and
phalam
toyam. Yeah. And then what else Krishna says? Sarvadharma parityaja. And he tells like my devotees, they constantly, you know, talk about me and with each other, and they always gain an unlimited bliss, happiness in that. I'm paraphrasing. And then he talks about the glories of devotional service, how he is supremely pure, and how he also gives an idea about how he is within the heart and is guiding the soul. He gives the knowledge from within, and from him comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. Okay, and then later on 14th and 16th and 18th chapters, he talks about three modes of material nature. So everything is divided in this world to three modes, like food in three modes, action in three modes, worker in three modes, renunciation in three modes. So based on that, we can try to see where we are and try to come more and more to mode of goodness. So these are like practical. And he also says, Krishna, that, you know, like one should not be, one should be regulated in eating, sleeping and recreation. Regulated means not completely nothing and not completely that. You have to be regulated. So these are some practical things. And he says, like, whenever, you know, you meditate, your mind wanders, so bring it back in the control of the soul. So this is practical things for us while chanting. While chanting, our mind goes away, bring it back in the control of the self. And then he says, how it's possible is by constant practice and detachment. Constantly, if you practice and you cultivate detachment, gradually you will get. And what is, and he says, one yogi can come to that platform of controlling the senses by gaining higher taste. Not by, and also the principle of Yukta Vairagya, where one uses everything for service to Krishna. So many practical things Krishna is telling us, some of the instructions. So this is a very nice, you all are coming so sincerely to hear about the instructions, so we can eagerly follow. So then the other point is, actually in 16th chapter, there are, it is defined, asuras. So there are two main primary categories of people, asuras and devas, means devotees and demons. So asuras, main characteristics is they don't know what to do and what not to do. So that's not the place we should be. We should clearly know what is to be done, that too in accordance to the laws of the God.
Basically, they don't know what is religion and irreligion. So they don't follow anything. And also important point, I felt, when I was preparing. So here Arjuna is confusing between the religion and the ordinary morality. So generally, even if people doesn't follow any religion or anything. So as a, common man, I can tell, killing somebody, it's bad, right? It's bad. So I'm talking on the morality. But here, Krishna is asking Arjuna to fight a war. And he doesn't want to fight. I don't want to fight. So because he is not following the orders of the Lord or the laws of the God, so that means he is committing sin. It's not by, as it says here, it's not by Arjuna. Sin will overcome if he slays such aggressors. So Arjuna is thinking if he kill Duryodhana and his team, he will get sin. But here it's other way. He is not following Krishna's order. By doing that, he is going to get sin if he doesn't fight.
Do anybody recollect any incident which illustrates this point in Mahabharata, in the war, Kurukshetra war? There is one very nice incident. I don't know my...
What?
One incident which illustrates that if you don't follow Krishna's instruction, you will get sin.
Dharmaraja.
So Yudhishthira Maharaj, Krishna comes and tells that this elephant, what is his name?
Ashwatthama.
Yeah, Ashwatthama is killed, you tell. Because then Dronacharya is very affectionate to his son, Ashwatthama. When he hears that, he stops fighting and he sits there. Then without an arm, we can kill him. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj, he has been always telling truth. He never lied. So he hesitated. Then finally he said, okay, at least I will tell half lie. He said, Ashwatthama hataha, and then... The elephant Ashwatthama dead. So rest of it he told very quietly. So for that, because he hesitated, he had to go to the ratha,
which was floating till that time came.
And also he had to go to hellish planets. So that's what I heard. And then go to Krishna.
Just for a visit, he was.
Just for that thing. So that's a very nice point to illustrate. We can move to far.
I don't understand.
The last.
No. I go. He goes to hellish planet, then goes to Krishna. Why?
Means like he had to go. He had to go visit hellish planet.
He follow immediately.
Yeah.
He thought twice.
Didn't follow when Krishna told you tell this one that Ashwatthama is dead. He didn't want to tell. So that's why until that time always his rath was floating in the air. It never touched the ground. When he hesitated to tell the lie, it automatically touched
in the war.
So for us, the practical point is, when we follow the laws of God, That particularly means for us it's Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. If we don't follow the laws or the instructions given, that means we should understand that we are committing sins. It can be a very minor, or we may not be even aware. See, most of the time it's because of our ignorance. We think we are not doing any committing sins or anything. But slowly it keeps accumulating. So that's why, you know, this is a very practical point. We have to really understand. And everyday life, we try to... it's a gradual process. Nothing, nobody can, you know, just... It's not black and white. You cannot shift like that. It's not a switch. So that's why it's very important to follow laws of God. Then your life will be sinless. You can, you know, very pious, and you can get credits for that. So
and
that's a practical
karma.
Point. Yeah, it's of course, if you... It's karma. Yeah, you can bad
like
karma. Yeah, it's a negative karma.
Hmm.
According to Vedic injunctions, there are six kinds of aggressors. One, a poison giver. Two, one who sets fire to the house. Three, one who attacks with deadly weapons. Fourth, one who plunders riches. Fifth, one who occupies another's land. Sixth, one who kidnaps a wife. Such aggressors are at once to be killed, and no sin is incurred by killing such aggressors.
Okay.
Such killing...
Yeah, you can finish that line. Yeah.
Such killings of aggressors is quite befitting any ordinary man, but Arjuna was not an ordinary person.
Yeah,
he was saintly by character, and therefore...
Can stop.
We can stop there.
Sorry.
This aggressor part will discuss. So... Do Kauravas fits in all
yeah,
the
yeah,
sex?
Sorry. Except the sixth one, they fit, they give poison
also
to me.
Fit,
they
fit.
Yeah.
No,
they
kidnapped.
They kidnapped.
Yeah, we'll go through. Yeah, we'll,
yeah.
Let's go
I mean,
to cover through.
They did kidnap. Yeah, I mean, if you see the exact meaning of kidnap,
that's
harassed.
Right?
Harassed.
That
no,
is
no,
different.
No, they we'll go through. Yeah, we'll let's first go through the...
Yeah.
So here, so let's see. As a Kshatriya, Arjuna is a Kshatriya. And he doesn't want to follow the orders of Krishna. But still, according to the Vedic injunction, if anybody fits in this category, Kshatriya is supposed to kill. Kill those people.
Or if you kill them also, you will not get sin.
And if he kills, they will not get sin. So, Krishna is defeating his... Arjuna is defeating his own arguments. Right? He doesn't want to fight. But he is as a Kshatriya, he doesn't want to follow this one. So, that means he is committing sin.
Right.
So, let's see what Krishna later he defeats. But in this... So, quickly, we'll just go through each one. So, poison giver. Anybody remembers?
Bhima is Kheer. Duryodhan gave poison under Kheer that Bhishma was. To Bhima, sorry.
Mm.
To Bhima. So, let's to put a story. It's a very nice one. It's a very big one. But I'll just try to remember a few points and put. So, when the Bhima was, you know, small. When they were all princes, right? So, the Bhima was already powerful at that time. So, what he used to do is, you know, he used to throw in a playful manner. So he used to throw everybody, Kauravas, you know, just playful, throwing water. So the particularly Duryodhana and all, because they're almost same age, so they used to become very envious because of, you know, Bhima's power and all. So Duryodhana and Dushasana, brother. So they you know, they were really getting tired of Bhima, so they went to Shakuni. And Shakuni is...
Gandhari's brother,
oh, right? Oh. Shakuni Gandhari's mama or
brother.
Yeah. So Shakuni wanted to marry Gandhari to Pandu, but Bhishma he made him get married to the Dhritarashtra. So he was very envious of Bhishma. He didn't like Bhishma. So because he thought, and Bhishma was very attached to Pandavas. We know that Arjuna particularly, especially, right? So he thought, if he hurt Pandava side, then automatically Bhishma will also get hurt. So what Shakuni did is, so he when Duryodhana and Dushasana came and they told about Bhima to Shakuni, Shakuni thought, let's mix poison, because Bhima likes to eat anyways, lot. So let's mix some poison. So that's the time when they were playing. So Bhima, you know, Duryodhana got lot of, it's poison from the plant. There is a plant... from poison from that, they extracted and they put him in the lot of food, in poison in the food. So Bhima usually eats lot, so he ate lot. And then after that also, you know, he was so active after eating, so he was throwing everybody in water, you know, playful mood. But later in the day, as you know, evening time, he felt a little bit dizzy and he kind of slept off. So then all the kids and all, they were gone by that time, other princes and all. So what they did is they tied him and they put him in water. They rolled him into water, the Ganges, this thing. So then, it's a mystical, right? That time, the Ganges and all. So they had a ground, right? When you went to the down, there was a connection to the Nagaloka from the Ganges river. So Bhima all the way went to the Nagaloka. So there all the Nagaloka is the kingdom of snakes. So that's where Vasuki lives. He's the head of the... And do you remember Vasuki, what he did in one of the pastimes? He's very famous. Yes, when the churning of the... churning, the ocean, right? So he became the rope for churning the milk ocean. So then all the snakes, you know, because they saw the humans, so they started, biting him. And also it said that, you know, if there is some poison, if the another poison if you give, like snake bite, so that neutralizes that poison. And I have heard that, you know, regularly if anybody have a snake bite, if you go to a doctor, they give something antidote for the snake.
Poison only.
Yeah. So like that, Bhima, you know, he became active, he became conscious. After biting snake bite, he became... And he started killing all the snakes because he was so powerful. Then there was one Vasuki's friend was Kunti's great-grandfather. He had taken a human form when on the planet. So he was there with Vasuki that time. So then he could recognize that Bhima is his great-great-grandson. So he recognized that this is Bhima. So then what they did is they gave lot of, it's a nectar in Nagaloka, it's available in Nagaloka. So they fed him so much to Bhima and they told you drink all this, you'll get strength of 10,000 elephants. So that's why Bhima has, strength of 10,000 elephants. That's how he got, because he drank that nectar. And he, after drinking, he slept there, and the whole body was rejuvenated with the power. Then he came back, he came to the kingdom. And of course, he revealed to Yudhishthir. He knew that, it was food poison like that, Bhima. So he revealed to Yudhishthir, but Yudhishthir told, because, they wanted to keep that fame of the kingdom. They didn't want to, distort the fame of the kingdom. So that's why, and also they were kids, playful, right? So they told, let's be a little bit vigilant, but not create any controversy or anything. So that's the first time they gave him poison. After that, second time also, Duryodhana tried to give him poison, second time. At that time, Dhritarashtra has how many sons?
100.
No, it's 100. Also, he had one more. So it's 101 actually. He had 101 sons.
One with some...
One with the maidservant. And 100 with Gandhari. So it's mentioned. Even I didn't know. So his name is Yuyutsu, right? Yuyutsu. So he came and told Yudhishthir, Pandavas, that Duryodhana is planning to give the poison to Bhima. But then Bhima, right, he struck off saying, now poison acts on, because he had that much power. So whatever he gave, he ate that food. But it didn't have effect on him. So they fall into category. So by all this, Kauravas were, they could have been killed by even this Vedic injection, because they broke this rule. They were very sinful by that time. And one who sets fire to the house. Did they do that?
Lakshak,
right? Yeah, you want to put small? I don't know
whether it is. Yeah, the house of Lak, right? So, when they grow up, all Pandavas, they grew up. So, Duryodhana always had this in mind, how to absorb the kingdom and do all kinds of tricks, everything. So, he was telling Dhritarashtra, somehow we have to send them. Because all the people in the kingdom, they're talking that eventually Yudhishthira is going to grow up and take the kingdom. So let's do something to... And I'm very nervous. Let's do something.
Because that was the deal, right? Only until Yudhishthira grows up, he becomes elder. Only at that time, temporarily, the Dhritarashtra wants the... He rules. But once Yudhishthira becomes the age, he will take over. So they were becoming very popular in the kingdom. So that's when Duryodhana went and he spoke to Dhritarashtra. Saying, I'm feeling very this thing, so we need to do something. So then, because of that mentality, what already had that envious mentality, so Dhritarashtra also supported that. So that's why they asked this part.
And then he told there is a place. So what happened? Then Dhritarashtra said, if we do anything, if we send... So Duryodhana says, there is a place, special place. Let's send Pandavas there. Then Dhritarashtra says, now everybody likes them. If suddenly if they send like that, everybody gets out and it creates a havoc in the place. So then he said, don't worry, I will slowly, one by one, I will get the ministers on my side. I'll give them gifts, everything, and get them on my side. And anyway, Bhishma is not going to give up supporting you, because he promised that he's always going to support the...
Loyal
to the throne. And Duryodhana also, Dronacharya also will not, because Ashwatthama is my best friend. He's also always going to be there. So like that, he gave examples and he said, convince Dhritarashtra. And finally, once... Yudhishthira Maharaj, he noticed that every day one minister will say something about that place. I don't remember the name. It's so good, it's very... something like that. Then slowly, like that it's happening. And then finally once Dhritarashtra says, Yudhishthira Maharaj, why don't you go there? There is some very nice place, you have lot of activities and so many things you can do, why don't you go? Then Yudhishthira Maharaj understands, he didn't want to reject up front. He said, okay, let's follow the plan. So while going there, then Vidura comes and he talks in a coded language, actually. Nobody else understands except Yudhishthira Maharaj, saying that there is a plot for you to be killed. Like there is a house which is going to get set to fire. So once they go there, they see that house of lac and everything is made of ghee and oil. Such small, even matchstick also could burn the whole thing. When Vidura says, at right time, I'm going to tell you how to get out of this. Then they, as we all know, then they try to dig the canal. And after some time, there is one Nishada woman with her five sons. Five. They come to reside there. So then they escape and they only set the fire to the house and they escape. And Duryodhana, everybody thinks that they all were killed. But they survive that. So that's one, setting the fire to the house. Attacking with deadly weapons.
That's a war itself.
That's a war itself and all the things.
They were ready to.
And plundering riches. Yeah, they didn't give them the kingdom, right? Whatever the kingdom they wanted. And occupying others' land, it's the same thing. Like they had this whole property and they didn't allow. Kidnapping my wife, did you hear the stories? There were two incidents.
Yeah, there were two. The one I could recall was Jayadratha, right? So he did when Pandavas were gone. Outside somewhere, so she was with some Brahmana, some name. So that time he did kidnap the Draupadi, Jayadratha. I heard that.
Yeah, it was like when she was in the Ajnatvas.
Nobody recognizes.
She was the servant of a queen, and the queen's brother was believed
Kichika.
I think HK, yeah.
Kichika is one also.
Oh, that is, okay.
That is different, and this is Jayadratha is all that. These are two people who want to enjoy Draupadi.
Yeah, Ajnatvas is Ichika.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So, they fall in that one. So, they did try
who's
to kidnap them. He's one more.
Pandavas.
No, I don't know. No, Samadha King, I think.
Samadha King.
But he was on the Kauravas.
Yeah, he's
Kauravas. Supporting Kauravas.
So the main point is, okay, Kauravas, they not only fit in one category, they are guilty of all these six things. And Arjuna also knows that. And still he is saying, if I kill them, I am going to incur sin. So that is the problem with Arjuna's analysis.
Okay, so I wanted to add here main, right? So we read this aggressors. So currently we see all this. I am pretty sure people are politicians.
So if we kill them, we will not get sin.
So it's very clearly mentioned that there are two things, loss of state and loss of Shastra. So current time, nobody follows loss of Shastra. Everything is loss of state. So we cannot use this principle to do any of this thing. So we cannot tell, somebody is falling in this.
Somebody
so I have the authority to kill that person. No, we cannot use. Because here we have to follow loss of state. So it overrides the loss of Shastra. But for our knowledge, we should know. If somebody does this, that means they are committing a big sin and they are going to go to the hellish planets. So this is current time, this is for our knowledge, not to act practical this thing. So you should remember this one.
disclaimer.
Yeah,
we can count, start the next point.
Okay, that was about the aggressor, this thing. And as she said, so Arjuna had the misconception. So it's clear now.
So the next point is about, so actually we can divide this purport into like four major points. So first point is about aggressors and how by killing them we don't get sin, right? Now we are coming to this, and we should be careful about the application of this principle. That's the first point. And the second category, second theme Prabhupada is going to talk about is about Kshatriyas, how they can be saintly, but they cannot be cowardly. So that's the second point. Kshatriyas can be saintly, but they cannot be cowardly. So we'll cover that section and then we'll elaborate on that little bit.
Yes.
He was saintly.
He was saintly by character, and therefore he wanted to deal with them in saintliness. This kind of saintliness, however, is not for Kshatriya. Although a responsible man in the administration of a state is required to be saintly, he should not be cowardly. For example, Lord Rama was so saintly that people even now are anxious to live in the kingdom of Lord Rama. But Lord Rama never showed any cowardice. Ravana was an aggressor against Rama because Ravana kidnapped Rama's wife Sita, but Lord Rama gave him sufficient lessons unparalleled in the history of the world. In Arjuna's case, however, one should consider the special type of aggressors, namely
his own
grandfather.
Stop there. That's the third point.
Okay.
We come to that later. So we paused at Rama's example.
Yeah.
So here Prabhupada is talking about being saintly versus cowardly. So we should be saintly. Kshatriyas can be saintly like Lord Rama. He was saintly king and everybody wants to have Rama Rajya. But at the same time he was not cowardly. Saintly doesn't mean like you know, many times devotees are criticized like that. Like as there were examples, like devotees do book distribution in Bombay in the trains, right? So some people, they come and I don't remember the exact incidents, like they were used to say Bhagavad Gita, something they are distributing, or like somewhere they are sitting, they used to say, oh, you are devotees, why you have to sit, or you know, you are devotees, why you have to take money, or something like that. They have some unreasonable expectations about devotees. Or if suppose devotees talks in an angry way, they think, oh, you are supposed to be saintly, how come you are showing anger? They don't know anger also can be used in Krishna service. Like if somebody...
Who is the best example? Who used the anger in the right way? It's a very popular example. Who comes to the mind? So much anger, he used it in the Lord's service. It's the example for that. Anger can be used in Lord's service also.
Yeah. Hanuman.
Yeah, Hanuman.
Hanuman is the example. So with anger, he burned the
Lanka. So he used it in the right purpose.
Yeah.
He was so angry, you know the story, he destroyed the whole Lanka.
So like that, that's the general misconception. The devotees means they should be, you know, always meek and humble. They are meek and humble, but for the Lord's sake, they can do anything. So like that, he has to do his duty. He can be saintly, but he cannot be cowardly. So that's as Lord Rama also, even though he's saintly, he killed Ravana, who was an aggressor, because he kidnapped Sita. So that's the second point.
In Arjuna's case, however, one should consider...
Okay,
the
third point is, we
aggressors.
Are discussing third point. The third point is, there are two shastras, they come into play. One is Dharma Shastra and Artha Shastra. The point about here about aggressors, when we kill them, we don't incur sin. That is given in Arthashastra. Okay, this is just for details, if you don't need to remember. That is given in Arthashastra. And in Dharma Shastra, there is another point where one, even if elderly persons, even if they do anything, mistakes or whatever, we should forgive them. That's the point given in Dharma Shastra. So two shastras, about the same point, they are giving contradictory instructions. Within them, Dharma Shastra is considered more, superior. So Arjuna is choosing to follow Dharma Shastra and he is choosing to forgive them. So that's the title. Title is, Arjuna takes precedence of Artha Shastra and chooses to forgive. Okay, so now let's discuss that, what it is. In Arjuna's case,
In Arjuna's case, however, one should consider the special type of aggressors, namely his own grandfather, own teacher, friends, sons, grandsons, etc. Because of them, Arjuna thought that he should not take as severe steps necessary against ordinary aggressors. Besides that, saintly persons are advised to forgive. Such injunctions for saintly persons are more important than any political emergency. Arjuna considered that rather than kill his own kinsmen for political reasons, it would be better to forgive them on grounds of religion and saintly behavior. He did not therefore consider such killing profitable simply for the matter of temporary bodily happiness. After all, kingdoms and pleasures derived therefrom are not permanent. So why should he risk his life and eternal salvation by killing his own kinsmen?
Yeah, we can stop there. So that's all the point about, you know, two shastras conflicting and what Arjuna chooses to do. So instead of killing them, Arjuna wants to forgive them on the grounds of Dharma Shastra. Because that is more convenient for him. So it's like you have all the shastras. Sometimes, you know, it's like how, you know, the judges or lawyers use the law books.
Yeah.
So many points. They can use anything based on the case and the client they have. It's like that. So Arjuna is using everything intelligently to justify that he doesn't want to fight.
So Arthashastra says to kill the aggressor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Dharma Shastra says to forgive.
Yes.
Forgive the elderly. Basically elderly.
Yeah.
That's
so Dharma Shastra is superior to Artha. So he's telling, okay, I'm going to do this. So actually, if somebody hears all this, that's why it's very, very, you know,
second
convincing.
Logical.
Convincing. It's not whimsically he's telling anything.
Yeah, he's following the Shastra.
But the whole point is because it violates Krishna's instruction, everything is baseless.
Where did Krishna ask him to fight? Like, it's not covered in the Gita. It says, you know,
Mahabharata.
So it's not, the very start, in the beginning, it's nowhere that actually Krishna is asking him to fight, right? So,
but the whole war.
It starts from the.
No, actually Krishna did go to, you know, convince Kauravas.
Mm-hmm.
He went as a peacemaker. You know that? Peacemaker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
even they chastised him and they criticized him.
Yeah.
So that's the time he was very, you know, he made up his mind to fight. Maybe it's in Mahabharata. Of course, this is just the part
just
where it starts in the middle. But I'm pretty sure, even I have not read the full Mahabharata in sequence. But of course, it's in Mahabharata.
But
that's
we also hear from our acharyas, what was Krishna's will, right? Krishna purposefully brought together everyone so that, you know, he can kill all this, destroy all these kings which are creating lot of havoc in the country at once. Within 18 days, so many people killed, it's greater than even World War, any war, World War. So that is his desire. Krishna's
desire
was clear. Everything was going on his will, so he didn't even had to express, like, okay, I want this war.
It's his will, yeah.
But then when Arjuna started saying, I don't want to fight, then Krishna explicitly told, I want this. These people are already killed. You be my instrument, you do this. That will come directly, we'll see. The whole Bhagavad Gita is about Krishna convincing Arjuna to fight the war. Some people say Bhagavad Gita is about non-violence. It's completely opposite. The whole Bhagavad Gita is about stirring up Arjuna to create his passion to fight. But not fight for his own sake, fight as a service to Krishna. So he is engaging Arjuna in seva. His seva. Okay, so then last point is about significance of the word Madhava.
Arjuna's addressing of Krishna as Madhava, or the husband of goddess of fortune, is also significant in this connection. He wanted to point out to Krishna that as husband of goddess of fortune, he should not induce Arjuna to take up a matter which would ultimately bring about misfortune. Krishna, however, never brings misfortune to anyone. To say nothing of his devotees.
Okay, so what is the definition of Madhava and in what context is Arjuna is using?
Don't bring misfortune to me.
Yeah.
Oh, husband of fortune.
She is so nice, like Krishna. Arjuna is using the word.
Okay.
Don't bring me misfortune.
That includes killing the Kauravas, because by killing them he's actually giving them fortune, like it's a good fortune for them.
Yeah, he's
going
to get
material fortune. He's talking about spiritual misfortune. So he's
like,
so it says last one is Krishna was never bring misfortune.
No, that's true, but that's what he's saying. I'm saying
Okay.
He's seeing that as if, you know, because he's saying that if I kill them,
sin.
I'm going to get sin. So I'm going to be misfortune, right?
You're going
so
to give me misfortune.
You're going to give me misfortune. Yeah. Don't, you know.
Force me to fight.
That's
why Prabhupada is telling what an argument is this. How will Krishna ever bring misfortune to anyone? And especially his devotees. He will be more and more, you know, inclined like his child.
Yes.
So why will Krishna ever do this?
Father,
so
father and son, right? That's a relationship.
So he's telling Arjuna his point, or his way of thinking about Krishna is wrong. That's what Prabhupada is trying to tell. Okay. We can go to the next verse. So I don't know what division of verses we gave, but this next two verses, it could either fall in sinful reactions or it could also fall in next verse. Destruction of family tradition. So according to what we heard, the next fourth point starts here. Fourth reason. Destruction of family tradition. And then again sinful reactions will cover from 40... I think I told something differently last time. 44 and 45 is again sinful reactions. But until that time is the fourth reason, destruction of family tradition. So 37 to 42.
37
to 42 is destruction of family tradition. And 36 and
37.
The 40.
No,
that's 36 and 44 and 45 is simple reactions. Actually, both could be correct. It's okay. It's just like, you know, because in this verse also it says sin. So this can be considered as, you know, third reason or fourth reason. It's okay. You don't need to memorize the verses which fall into them. It's okay. Text number 37 to 38.
यदि अपि ते न पश्यन्ति लोभो पहत चेतसा कुलक्षया कृतं दोषं मित्रद्रोहे च पातकं कथं न ज्ञेयम् अस्माभिः पापादस्मान् निवर्तितुं कुलक्षया कृतं दोषं प्रपश्य रब्बिर्जनार्दन यदि अपि ते न पश्यन्ति लोभो पहत चेतसा कुलक्षया कृतं दोषं मित्रद्रोहे च पातकं कथं न ज्ञेयम् अस्माभिः पापादस्मान् निवर्तितं कुलक्षया कृतं दोषं प्रापस्याद्भिर्जनार्दन
ओ जनार्दन although these men their hearts overtaken by greed see no fault in killing one's family or quarrelling with friends, why should we, who can see the crime in destroying a family, engage in these acts of sin?
So what's the name Arjuna is using for Krishna?
Jamana.
What was the meaning?
Protector of
all living entities.
But a Kshatriya is not supposed to refuse to battle or gamble when he is so invited by some rival party. Under such an obligation, Arjuna could not refuse to fight because he had been challenged by the party of Duryodhana. In this connection, Arjuna considered that the other party might be blind to the effects of such a challenge. Arjuna, however, could see this evil consequences and could not accept the challenge. Obligation is actually binding when the effect is good, but when the effect is otherwise, then no one can be bound. Considering all these pros and cons, Arjuna decided not to fight.
Okay, so here Arjuna is giving a different reasoning. So there are actually two points here. One is what Prabhupada is describing here is that Kshatriya, when he is challenged to fight or gamble, he is not supposed to refuse. According to his duty, he should do it. But at the same time, if the result is going to be evil, if he refuses, there is no sin on his part. So it's okay. So Arjuna is saying the net result of this battle is going to be evil for everyone. Everybody is going to be killed. So I'm not obligated by this. I'm not going to fight. So that's one reason Arjuna is giving. And the second one he's telling, which is in the verse, he's saying that all these men, their hearts are overtaken by greed. And they want to quarrel and have this war. But we know better. That's why he uses the word we. The we in Sanskrit is Asmabhi. Asmabhi is not saying I, right? He's saying we. Krishna, I'm your friend. Right? Being close to you, I know better. I should not be acting with greed. I should not be acting for my kingdom. Right? I should see for the welfare of all the living entities. Okay, it's not good for everyone. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to fight. So these are the two reasons Arjuna is giving. One is they are overtaken by greed. We know better. So we should not fight. And the second point is, because the result is going to be evil, we are not obligated to respond to the challenge of war. So we can refuse to fight.
So here the main word is greed. We can remember. So basically greed destroys the intelligence. Whenever we... The greed overtakes, for example.
Some examples, generally in our lives.
So, I think it's very common, right? If somebody is very greedy, it will spoil the whole thing. It's not, you know, family, friends, everything spoils. Greed wants to
And they will not be
overcome.
Satisfied, how much ever. Everybody wants to be karorpati. Like that, you know, whatever they have, it's not enough. Kaun banega karorpati. That's what they want. Everybody wants.
Right? So it fits in the current situation. Time if you apply greed, at least we are after something. We have $1,000, we want to make $2,000. Like that. It's, you know, it just adds. We at any point of time, we cannot tell, I'm very satisfied. A day we cannot tell. If you don't have the spiritual knowledge, it's impossible. It's always, we are always on the greedy platform.
It's just a small thing that I was seeing some old movie. There, goddess Durga appears to a devotee. So she asks, what do you want? And devotee says, I am happy. You just come whenever I call you. You eat my food, you eat my prasad, and I'll take the prasad and I am happy. Then, you know, she says, this is just a dialogue, but I like that point. I can give pretty much anything what a devotee asks me, but the only thing I can never give is the satisfaction that he is happy. I cannot just keep asking more.
So I will maybe I'll just share this example. I don't know whether it's from Puranas or somewhere, but this may be a moral story, I think. So there was a person. I don't know.
Whatever we touch.
Yeah, whatever we touch. Maybe you heard in classes.
So Midas, king Midas. It's a Greek mythology.
Greek mythology. So he was under a tree. He was sitting under a tree. The tree is a Kalpavruksha tree. So, you know, because of the greed, he told, you know, please grant me the...
ability, so...
No, not that one.
Some food, some bed.
Yeah, I want, you know, nice... He's a poor guy. So he told, you know, if I get a lot of food, nice food to eat, then I will be happy. So then immediately, because he was sitting under the Kalpavruksha tree, so then it was granted, this thing was granted. So a lot of, you know, nice prasadam was there. So he ate very happily. And then he thought, you know, if I had a nice bed, cozy bed, I can sleep nicely. So then like nice bed, big bed came, so he slept off nicely. Then after that he thought, you know, I wish, you know, whatever I touch, if it becomes gold, then I will be very rich. So then he started, you know, touching things. He touched the bed, it became gold. So he carried the bed and he went home. And there, you know, his wife came running. Then, you know, he touched his wife. She also became gold. So then what happens? See, his own family relative. So now that's why once the greed starts, it's, you know, adding fuel, ghee to the fire. What happens to the fire? It will never mitigate. Once you add ghee, it becomes more. So the greed, I just wanted to... If you go to 1621, what's 1621?
There
so
are three gates to hell. So that is lust, anger and greed.
So let's see what greed really means. 1621.
Yeah. 634.
There are three gates leading to this hell.
Trividam Naraka.
There are three gates leading to this hell. Lust, anger, greed. Every sane man should give this up. For for they lead to the degradation of the soul. See that that bad it is.
So this one another instruction,
this
right? We were talking about instructions of Krishna. So he's saying we have to give up this. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to give up lust, anger and greed. So okay, now let's talk about a positive aspect. So how do we deal with greed? If you have greed, what is the best way to deal? Like, what are the practical ways, you know, we can overcome greed, or well, how do we engage it in Krishna service? Yeah, like, let's talk about it. How do we engage greed in Krishna service?
Become more greedy in service.
Yeah. So we should become more greedy for Krishna service. So actually, Rupa Goswami, our Acharya, he says, what is the qualification to become a devotee, pure devotee? The only qualification is an intense greed to have it. If you have intense greed to have that loving relationship with Krishna, that's what is required. That's all. That's the only, you know, that's the only qualification. It's not caste or creed or, you know, what, where you are born or how pious you are, how sinful you are. There are no obstacles to bhakti. Bhakti is purely springing from spiritual platform. So the, all these material obstacles, they don't come. The only thing is sincerity, which is the intense greed to have it. That's all.
So we can dovetail the propensity.
Yeah. So if we are... So actually when later on, third chapter, Krishna talks about lust. So there it is given. The definition of lust is, in originally we all have love for Krishna in spiritual world. The moment we decide to, you know, come down, or moment we decide that, you know, we turn away from Krishna, then immediately we have to face the material nature. So then the whole love we have for Krishna comes in touch with mode of passion and it becomes lust. So this is a little bit technical, but that's what is lust. Lust is the love for Krishna. When it comes in touch with material mode of passion,
it becomes lust.
So if we see how much lust we have, like if you just see like how much we have desire to enjoy, you know, like go here, go there. So much people spend so much time, energy, lives for this, right? So if you just reflect on this, we can see all this energy can actually be used as a love for Krishna. That much we can actually love Krishna. It's not that, you know, I don't have any love for Krishna, or we have that much capacity to love Krishna. But just that we should turn that. So similarly, greed. We have so much greed about all these things, and we have very little, if not nothing, greed about spirituality. That greed we should slowly convert to Krishna. Okay, I am greedy about attending Bhagavad Gita class, or I'm greedy about attending Kirtan. I'm greedy to watch Krishna every day, see Krishna. I'm greedy to hear Kirtan. I'm greedy to associate with devotees. I'm greedy to eat prasadam. So this is transcendental greed. So actually all these qualities are there even in spiritual world. All the qualities except envy. There is no place for envy in spiritual world. Lust is there, anger is there, greed is there, everything is there. These are all transcendental versions of material qualities which degrade us. But these things uplift us.
So what happens if we have greed? This is just a practical.
Which greed? Problem. Material greed or spiritual?
Of course, material greed. We are talking about material greed. So what's the main effect of greed? Once you have a lot of greed, what happens the next step?
Sorrow.
If it is fulfilled, then it's okay. Else you get frustrated, anger.
Yeah, that can be outcome. So basically, whenever we are greedy, our intelligence is lost. So we will not be able to discriminate. That's the effect of greed. So you can easily see, you know, you will always be, whatever you want, you will go after it. So you don't know whether it's good or bad for you, but because of the greed, it overtakes your intelligence. So you will not be able to discriminate. So that's the main practical, you know, output of the greed.
Actually, Krishna gives this gradual fall down in second chapter. I'm looking for the verse called Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa. Let's look at the index. Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa Sangasthi.
Dhyayato.
It's 2.62. There are two verses, 2.62 and 63. Krishna gives the process of fall down. Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsa Sangasthesu Pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho bajayate krodhat bhavati sammoha sammohat smriti vibramaha smriti bramsat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranasyati. So the way it starts is, while contemplating the objects of senses, a person develops attachment for them. So first we think about, okay, there is a poster about Hawaii, or there is some ad about a movie. No, we start thinking. We start thinking, then person develops attachment. Oh, I want to go there. I want to see them. And from that attachment, lust develops. Okay, with that attachment, I want to enjoy. That is lust. And from that lust, anger arises. So when the lust is not fulfilled, you don't get ticket. Wife is sick. You can't go. Something like that. Then you become angry. Then from anger, complete delusion. Delusion means you'll become like mad. And from delusion, bewilderment of memory. You'll lose memory as what is to be done, what is not to be done. So you act out of control. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. So it all starts with contemplating the objects of sense in a way to enjoy for ourselves. Of course, you can contemplate the object of senses in a way to serve Krishna. That's good. But if you think of them in a way to enjoy, then this is what happens.
Very practical.
Yeah, it's also very scientific. Scientific.
Understanding is okay. We can talk as intellectual, but in real world, it's very tough. Like, for I will take my example, it's very tough to apply.
Apply what?
All these
the
things.
Principle.
Yeah.
Like, if you will go out, you will enjoy.
Yeah.
How you will stop enjoying?
Yeah. So basically, little by little, we should convert that enjoying propensity to service propensity. Little by little. So actually, I'm remembering now, initial days is when I was coming, right? So they were giving example, like when you look at rose, because we are so much ingrained with sense enjoyment, look at rose, immediately you want to smell and you want to taste, feel, right? You know, sense and sense objects, you want to smell what it is. But gradually, when we are purified, when you look at the rose, immediately you will think, I want to offer this to Krishna. You want to take it and offer to that. That's how we should come. We will come actually.
So one
that's
practical.
Practical.
Yeah. One practical thing is, usually we have a tendency to
enjoy
taste.
Yeah.
Food when you're cooking, right?
Mm.
We have that very lot of. I've seen many. It's a very common tendency. But when you take up the process and when you realize that first we have to offer it to Krishna, you usually give up that. Basically, you know, you had the tendency. So, the higher taste or whatever, the higher knowledge, it replaces that. So, anyway, it's a step-by-step process.
And even though if you're calling so many devotees, even then you will not taste.
You will never taste.
Good, you will just start serving.
Yeah, you will start.
Yes.
Yeah. So, until we serve, you never
side.
Taste.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, initially, it will be like very black and white. It will be clear that when I come to temple, I'm in service mode. It's very clear. When I go outside, because I'm used to enjoy outside, I will be enjoying outside. It will be very, you know, black and white. But slowly, when the consciousness become very clear, our consciousness will be of mood of service. So wherever I'm inside or outside, I'm trying to serve Krishna. So I can serve Krishna at work, I can serve Krishna at home, I can serve Krishna at temple.
So basically, we'll have a dual personality for some
time. Yeah, for
some time. That's when we start, it's a dual personality.
Split personality. Yeah.
When we come to temple, you know, we changes our mood, this thing personality. We want to
That's
serve.
That's because of
like
association.
Mm. And when we go out, because of our conditioning, long conditioning, you know, then immediately you take over. Because basically of the strong modes, because your nature is very strong. Passion, ignorance is stronger.
And association also.
And with the association, right, outside association.
Mm.
Because from the childhood or we don't know, it's said actually time immemorial. It's not just this life, but it's coming from our previous life also. So it's that's why it's called time immemorial. So because of our strong nature, so that takes over automatically. It's I don't know whether I told about the car racing. Did I share in the class?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe you are not. The initial classes I shared. I was so much attached to car racing. Won't believe it.
To watch,
yeah. The
to
Formula
watch,
One
yeah.
racing.
Not,
I was not into the Formula One racing. I spent a lot of money, time, everything. Because I didn't know Krishna consciousness, I took that one. I used to spend whatever energy, effort I put here, I used to put there. Formula One, reading about it, collecting pictures, all this thing I used to spend because I thought that's the best
goal
use
of
my time or goal of my life. But slowly, you know, once I took up, I understood, you know, with knowledge, and with association, I just replaced. I didn't put even, you know, I didn't feel any, I didn't put extraneous effort to give up that. I replaced it just like that. Slowly it went off. So it's just the association and understanding, the getting the right knowledge. If you understand, see, how can we tell whether you are full or no? Right? Whenever you get convinced of some point or something, do you need anybody else to convince you? You don't need anybody. You'll automatically, you will do it yourself. And that's how, that's the Krishna consciousness, is that scientific, devotional service.
And actually we may think right now, okay, it's an intellectual platform, but actually now what we are doing is hearing. Hearing is one of the first processes of devotional service. So that's where we begin. So hearing, we are hearing from the heart. So let's try to hear from the heart. Then when we hear from the heart, it stays with us. It transforms the heart as much as we have potency. Then we don't know actually, just a matter of time. Just you will see, same thing you will see and you will feel, oh, previously I used to feel differently, now I feel differently. Previously I used to feel that pull, that urge to, you know, do, but now I don't feel that taste. You will notice actually yourself. It's just a matter of time and it's all based on your sincerity. Krishna, it's not about, you know, situation you are in, like Krishna knows exactly what is your family situation, you know, how wife and kid and duties and work and all those things. Within all those things, we are struggling at least 1 hour or maybe one half an hour to remember him. That's what he sees. And he gives that strength, association, everything to increase it if we so desire. That's all about our desire and sincerity.
So we'll end this class with one nice story, like Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was visiting a temple, I think in Europe, one of the country. So then that time, you know, already Prabhupada that, you know, from 65 he had many disciples, and you know, later who joined, so they were kind of considered, you know, they could not directly approach Srila Prabhupada because all senior people, right? It's the same, you cannot go to main it, right? Like president, you cannot go directly, so you have to go through. So everybody used to be surrendering Prabhupada, all the senior people. So all this, you know, the people who joined newly, they never used to get opportunity to talk to him. So then Prabhupada was leaving from the temple. So last, you know, that's the last opportunity you will get before, you know, Prabhupada leaves. I don't know when he will come back. And he was also old, so we don't even know whether he will go back to the temple. So what this person did, right? So he was newly joined and he wanted to really talk to Prabhupada. That's his goal of life, he wanted to do. So then Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada sat in the car and the senior person, he wanted to close the door. He almost, so this person from somewhere, he came running. So fast, he just came running. And, you know, he put his hand and, you know, he put his whole body in the door, that whatever gap was there. Then he asked Prabhupada, how can I become
Krishna consciousness?
I want to really become Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So Prabhupada told only one word. He didn't talk about philosophy or anything.
He didn't
told
say chant Hare Krishna. He didn't say chant Hare Krishna.
I don't know whom I have shared. I think I would have shared.
Yeah.
Don't tell if you know. You know.
Yeah.
Don't tell. Yeah. I think yeah. I don't know. Okay. You don't tell. Yeah. So he told only one word. I don't want to tell the number of words in that one letters in that. So let's leave. So he told only one word.
So Maharaj, when he was elaborating on this, he was telling, it's not even, you know, one paragraph, it's not one sentence, it's not one paraphrase, it's just one word which is the essence of Krishna consciousness. And very nice lecture Maharaj gives, going deep into that word, how that affects the Krishna consciousness. I can refer to that lecture if anybody wants. The word is
desire.
The word is desire. It's just the desire.
So you told only one word. Desire
to become Krishna conscious. Then what does super soul do? Yes,
super soul
is just next to us.
It's always within.
It's Paramatma.
Yes.
Paramatma. It's always within us. So when you desire, automatically it will grant and it will, you know, adjust everything according to that. I have experienced many times. If I am to do something, everything gets clear. The vision gets clear. Even I am not so clear, intelligent or anything, but I have that strong desire to do it. Everything get adjusted.
That's
whatever,
what I was telling,
no matter,
right? Initially,
whatever.
No, in materialistically calculating, initially I was thinking, I tried so many things, I wanted to do so many things, nothing worked out. But when I heard this, I felt like this is the best deal. Because Krishna is going to fulfill all spiritual desires. So, I don't have to be frustrated with anything. It's very good, right? Good deal. Okay, we'll end here. Hare Krishna.